Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's a great day back in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome, Dr. Price, to the Paula Price Show.
I am so glad. You know how much I love Thursdays, because to me, Thursday's a show day, and I'm getting excited about it. And hey, Ashley, it's good to be back, because last week we got to do the show from Joliet, Illinois. It was a blessing. That's where we did the Talents Leadership Conference. The turnout was amazing. The feedback was tremendous, and I got to tell you, that was a good time. But yet again, we are here in Tulsa Town, where the sun is shining, the weather is cold, and Jesus still is Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. And yes, the leadership talents was mind-blowing to me. It was astounding. I've heard your teaching for years, and still I was blown away by the leadership wisdom that came out of you. We're accustomed to hearing you teach on the prophetic and, of course, apostleship. But that leadership arm of yours, I tell you, it's a strong one.
I like that. I might keep that. My leadership arm is a strong arm. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced I will keep it. You know what I appreciated was that because it was on leadership, everybody from every strata of the Lord's kingdom, and we had a lot of business people there, a lot of professionals there who also appreciated it. But it opened it up for them to come out. They enjoyed it. I mean, it was really great. But wait a minute, Prophet Ashley, you have plans for the Talents Conference that we did last week. What are those plans?
We have a few plans. Right now, they are available in the audio format. And so we want to encourage everybody to go to our website to order your copy. And then they will also be available in the classroom format on our Kingdom Embassy University website very, very soon. We're just at the end of February, so in March they'll be up there, and it will be your PowerPoint lectures with the audio. They'll be able to follow, take those notes, have some assignments, and then have the ability to take a final exam and get a certificate.
And that is awesome. And I'm excited about it because that's just leg one. You know, the Talents program is very extensive because it's meant to go all the way up to the highest levels of leadership. So for those of you who are joining us on the show, and let me just take a moment to say welcome to the Paula Price Show this week. But for those of you who are joining us, please consider not only taking the classes yourself, but also encouraging your team. Again, we want to come alongside. We want to help you do what you do. We also want to validate you. I have found that the Lord has some great leaders out there who are struggling and laboring with a whole lot of things that, you know, have come against the body of Christ, many things that the body of Christ has have heard, you know, on television and tapes or whatever, conferences and other venues. And so some of it very good, a lot of it not so good, or at least inadequate for what the Lord wants to do. And so this program, along with several others, is geared toward giving you as a leader the validity and the credibility you need. When your people hear you teaching, or hear someone else teaching what you've been saying, or someone else requiring for their leadership staff what you have been requesting of them, and on and on, it only strengthens you. It just does. If you're a young leader, if you're a pastor with not a lot of hands on deck right now, you would appreciate our Kingdom Embassy University online school. A lot of the work is done for you. You can have your people take the classes. You can get them certified. They can take the final exam. But you can set standards and criteria for how you want to use and engage all of those people that God is assigning to you. It's powerful. I mean, we're doing that right now with the Build Your Commission Team class. We introduced that earlier this month, right, Ashley?
Yes, the very beginning of the month.
Oh, okay. And, you know, life is moving quickly for us.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
What happens. I know, when you move at the speed of God, And so, but so anyway, we, you know, we introduced that earlier. We've been getting amazing feedback. We have several leaders that are taking their apostles, taking their networks to a prophetic leaders or chief prophets, taking their companies through it. Pastors taking their churches through it because they know that God has called them to be apostolic. Other people are doing it on their own because they know that is what God is saying. Great team. Ask you, what are some of the feedback you've been getting about the commission training if you had a chance to talk to some of our new students?
The commissioning training is going very well. We have some groups that are going through. Their leaders are taking their people. And the information is sound information. And it's thought-provoking. It's set up to have the apostle be able to identify how they're deputized to be an apostle. Excuse me. And it's also set up to have the teens identify their place in the apostles' commission and also being able to identify that commission, because you cannot support what you cannot define. And so the course is really set up for that. We're having some really good feedback. The experience is enjoyable. It's very easy as well as informative.
Yes. And you know, we're having a blast getting these online for you in a manner that is pleasing to your eye, but also easy for you to work through. You know, very simple, so that it's a good experience. We want you to have a positive as well as powerful learning experience. So I'm excited about that and all of the other things we have going on. When we have Apostle Prophet D, I don't need to scare you guys. When we have Prophet pop in a little bit later on, we're going to talk about that. And she's going to let us know all of that other good stuff we have going on. From what I understand, the response to the trainings has been very positive. We've been getting quite a bit of interest and traction in it. So I think it's great. What I like about the training that I'm offering is, and I think it, what gives it its appeal to the body of Christ, is that it's not common. You know, you can't turn on the TV and hear this stuff right now. You can't turn on your radio. You can't buy your favorite this or that, because I'm called as an apostle to the new era that God is doing. And that, because I am, that I'm bringing that dimension of revelation and mystery and unveilings for this particular era and for this age. And usually these kinds of things come forth from God brand new when the old has done its job well, established itself, and gotten people anchored in that last portion. Now, this new portion is to take us forward. So it's to connect. It plugs in, you know, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything so new I can't find anything to compare it to. I want to be able to try to find it somewhere where I can hook it into. You know, I don't care if it's a long rope and, you know, whatever, but I want to hook it into. So you won't find this on television. You're not going to find this information everywhere, because it isn't everywhere, because, well, I'm just getting everywhere. For those of you who've read my books, The Prophet's Dictionary, The Prophet's Handbook, you know that my style and approach to presenting the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom is not as typical as it will become in time. But right now, it's not typical. It's not commonplace. What God revealed to me about himself and how he wants me to make him known is the next level. If I had to say anything, I would say he's ready to graduate the body to another level of knowledge of him. And it's the knowledge of Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. So, and you know, Ashley, you've said it over and over again, you're not going to get this information anywhere else in this format, in this texture, in this level of complexity or depth. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant, because, you know, with the church has a problem with specialists. They have a problem with mastery. There are problems with you know, the exceptional, the outstanding, because we need everything even for us all to feel like we're okay in God and Christ. But as family, we are okay, and we are all nice and equal and all of that. But when it comes to God achieving some things and wanting to get things done, God is always going to go for the best of the best. And that's what this leadership program talked about, talent leadership program. We talked about a couple of things in there that I know you're going to love. We give you a lot of information on dealing with your staff, how to make your staff, your team powerful, all of that kind of information for this era. Because even if we even if, you know, if we decide to say, okay, we're going to continue doing what we're doing, this era moved ahead. It moved ahead. It moved away from us. It moved away from the church. It moved out from the church. Other things have come, grew up and cropped up between the generation and the church and the people of God. So even with that, it's still time to know what God is doing. I appreciate what God has done. We need that. If you don't know history, you will always miss destiny. So I appreciate that. But now it's time for us to go on to the next level, to go on to the next place in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's waiting to manifest himself differently. And he's waiting to talk to you differently, to articulate himself, to unveil his kingdom differently. If we were in, let's say we were in the parking lot, now he's ready, or the lobby, now he's ready for us to get to, you know, the level, etc., till we get up to his very face and we see him face to face. God is looking for that with his church. And so when we talk about these trainings, and I encourage you to get them, I know that God has put some things in there that is, that are very common to you, that are very constant of the kingdom, because they're, you know, to me and God, I don't think anything about God is common, but I do know that there are certain things that are constant. But there are some things that are constant, there are some things that are consistent, but then there are those revelatory pieces for this era, for this age, and they spring from the advancements that our society has made, that the world has made over the last two or three decades. I know that while it was in its heyday, God was giving me this. And at one point, I was somewhat out of season. You know, I didn't fit. Who knew what to do with me, because, well, what I was getting is not what they were feasting on, not what they were reading, not what people were eating and all of that. But now we've had that party. We've had that feast. And all the fruits of those teachings, those doctrines, et cetera, have become evident to us. And now God says, okay, so now I'm ready to take you to the next level. I'm ready to give you something else. It's kind of like what you do with your kids. Okay, so you ready to get it now? Are you ready to hear me now? Are you ready for this? All right, then it's time. So I want you to know that when you take these trainings, you will not take them and say, oh, this is just like so-and-so, or I just did this, or I did this over here or over there. You will find some cross connections. You will find a little bit of overlap here and there, but you're not going to get what you think. Even when I offer the Jesus classes, and I've offered them for a couple of years, and, you know, the belief is that because we can all say his name, we all know him the same, and that is not true. You know, we don't all know Jesus the same, because he doesn't manifest himself to every one of us the same. That doesn't say he wants to or doesn't want to, but it is to say that we don't know him as we need to know him for what he's getting ready to do in the world today. I had a seasoned minister say to me a while back about, you know, I know God, you can't tell me about God, and I know where God is going because I've been in ministry 30 years, I've been in this place 35 years, I've done this. I want to tell you, I hung up the phone, and I would say, well, God, you know, that makes sense, because how many of you know a lot of earthly wisdom sounds plausible, but it's earthly. And human wisdom sounds earthly. And so I said, well, God, that's true. And God said, listen, he said, what my people and my ministers have done for me is good. He said, they've gotten my people to where I want to go. They've held the fort and held up my name. He said, but I am no different than any other organization. When I want to go to the next level, I look for those who can go. I don't look for those who are celebrating their past. I look for those who are pressing toward the future. I don't want leaders who to go into the future who want to drag the past or drag what I've completed with them. I want someone who is already perched and poised for the next thing I'm doing. I want somebody who is already knows that I've exhausted this and now I'm presenting something else. I want somebody who understands that if I want to turn my body, I have to start by turning my head. And if the head is comfortable where they are, they cannot go where I need them to be. So just because you were wonderful and you did all these great things, you learned all this wonderful stuff, and you achieved, nobody's taking that from you. In that last dispensation, you have to ask yourself, are you one of those leaders that God can trust to hold the fort? Are you one of those leaders that he can cause to move forward? So who am I talking about? What am I talking about? Let's take the example of Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Very good example. And it illustrates the point that I want to make to you today very clearly. Moses is 80 years old, 80 years old. Now, he was on track to be king, to be Pharaoh in Egypt. He was no doubt in leadership in Midian. Otherwise, why would Jethro, follow him to see what was going on? And clearly, he was married to Jethro's child because of the fact that he had a wife and it was the father-in-law. So he did that. And then he turns around and God waits till he's 80. Now think about it. He's 80 years old. He's had a lot of leadership experience. He's had a pretty good, we would say pretty positive resume, both as a national leader and as a tribal leader. And I want to go on record to say to you all, they are two different kinds of leaders. So he's had, Egypt is a nation, got a lot of experience as a national leader, high level, a nation that is ruling nations, Then he's got this whole tribal leadership thing that God needs him to have because he's going to take his people from a nation and put them in the wilderness and make them a tribe. See, that's important. So he goes, and so Moses gets that. He gets he's in Midian 40 years. He gets that experience, and then here comes God. Okay, go and get my people. God does that to you. He waits till you are ready to resign or retire. You're ready for some Social Security. You're standing in the Social Security line, and then he gives you your call to ministry. For those of you who are struggling with why God won't let you alone now because now you're tired, now you're No. It's time for you to go and get his people. It is time for you to bring his people out of Egypt. It is time for you to gather them and head in out of Midian. It is time for God to build the thing that he had in mind when he sent you through all of those learning programs, when he sent you to that education institution, when he sent you to that company, when he made you the top of the top and made you top salesperson and made you top performer and made you top achiever and head of the organization. God had a vision, and I want you to think about this as I'm talking. God had a vision for you, and his vision wasn't always for your youth. Sometimes we think God only has visions for youth, but you don't pull a nation out of captivity with a youth. You've got to go with somebody who has fought some wars. You've got to go and use somebody who has had some hits, who's got some scars, who's got some experience. You need somebody who can take a no and get back up. You need somebody who can take a blow and get back up. You need somebody who's had years and years of reading and learning, of trying and failing and correcting and perfecting, someone who is faced off with giants and faced off with opposition. And a lot of you all who think that, okay, I'm retired. I know we get them coming through with our assessments. I don't know why God is bothering me. I call yourself Moses so that you can settle the fact that you did not learn all of that to vegetate in your later years. You learned all of that for God to say, go get my people. Go get my sons and daughters. Go fulfill my word. Go fulfill my prophecy. Go be the one. And so then God had one nation. Today he's got a global church. Each one has a membership buried in various systems, etc. So God takes Moses at 80. I know some of you all who are 80 probably don't want that, but I'm sure that God kept Moses very strong, very healthy, and very virile to do the job. And so he goes and he says, go get my people. So he's got this seasoned warrior who has been on track for royalty, so he knows how to talk to heads of state, okay? He's been a tribal leader, so he knows how to deal with the nomadic folk and those chieftain folk. There's a whole different kind of mindset. And now, in addition to that, he has been broken and he's been humbled because, remember, I was the tough guy in Egypt, and then I become the humble nomadic leader here. And so he understands, and he and God could talk. And God calls Moses. What made Moses the one different from anyone else? And the story, it reveals itself. Moses could move with the times. A lot of leaders can't move with the times because we take too much pride in what we've done, that we don't always wrap our heads around what God needs to do. And so there are I call the dunners and the doers. The dunners want to get something great, get the accolades, get the awards, sit down and bask in the fading glory of their former achievement. The doers are like, that's nice, but they're the ones like, what can I do for God today? That was what I did for him last month, last year, over the last 10 years. And so He takes a man who can see the future in his own past. See, and that's what it takes to be ready to go to the next level in Christ. You need to be able to see the future in your own past and to see your future in God's past, because everything about God that's past is only moving you into tomorrow. So Moses saw that. I understood that. And God told him, go and get my people. And we like to tell a story about how reluctant Moses was and how he couldn't speak and all of that, because we want to feel good in our own inabilities, and we want to feel good in our own reluctance and our own resistance to what God called us to do. So we tap into all of those things, and we lock ourselves in Moses' difficulty with the call, not moving onward, again, stuck in the past, not moving into the fact that he did it, and that he continued to do it for 40 more years, and that for 40 years he did the impossible, he did the unthinkable, he did the improbable, and he did it under the most difficult, sometimes the severest of conditions. But everything that God taught him, that's why he needed to do Midian, so he could do the rough life that was waiting for him to bring a nation of people out of civilization, okay, into the wilderness. That was, all of that was a difficult call, and leadership training considers that. God considered that in every experience that Moses had, every difficulty that he had, every setback, every embarrassment, every humiliation, every rejection, every threat to his life, and every adversary he faced, was to the end that he can function as a great leader over the thing that God had never done before. And see, so those of you who are called to the future, you are looking for what God has never done before. You're not looking for what God has done and someone else has mastered, conquered, and taken credit for. You're looking for what God has never done before, because he's breathing things in you. You're having dreams. He's giving you, dropping things in prayer. You keep hearing things. Various things are catching your ears that echo what he said to you in secret. Why? Because you are poised for what God has never done before. And not all of you are 20 and 30. The era of God making things happen with 20 and 30 year olds has come to an end. Not that their time is in, but the era of him starting that. You realize the only reason you can do something when you're younger is because somebody old already settled it. So God wants the youth. I want the young folk because they're running and strong. I want the older ones because they're wise and they're enduring. There's a stubbornness that comes with knowing that you have faced all there is and you keep going. We need the whole body. But I'm today talking to those of you. We need the whole body. But I am today talking to those of you who keep telling God, I'm too old. I want you to put that today. Don't tell him again. How you going to tell somebody you're too old? He calls Abraham at 99 or 90 or something, calls Sarah to have a baby when she ought to be digging her grave. Come on here. You can't even talk to God like that. God said, I'm time. I am life. I am the resurrection in their life. And you can rest assured, some of you all have physical ailments and maladies that the minute you say yes to God, those things are going to disappear. That's not everybody, but there is a few of you who are listening to the sound of my voice today, because God has need of you. And so if he's going to start something new, he's going to start it with an older, seasoned person, because of all of the reasons I just said, including your context, including the reach, including the folks that you have. You know, in our country, we make a big deal about people getting old and dying out. That's not how God thinks, because there's a wisdom and a counsel, and there's a sagacity in what you have lived and learned, that if you don't enshrine it where you are, it can be useful in the master's hands for the future. The problem is we enshrine our achievements so that they become monuments of our present and past success and useless to our future. So God is talking. And so Moses finally comes out to do it. He pulls them out, pulls off the 10 plagues. That's unheard of. Got the Egyptian army in the sea. That's unheard of. He turns around. He looks up after the heat of the battle is over and all the contest over. He looks up and he's got millions of folks looking at him saying, what next? Okay, so that was fun. That was great. What's next? And so, remember, those people left Egypt thinking they're going from one civilized place to another. Only God and Moses know that they're going from civility to the wilderness. And that's a whole other thing. Why? Because God is doing something new, and he always starts in primitivity. He does not start new stuff in what's established, because then it doesn't belong to him. He starts in primitivity. The whole idea of, well, you're an apostle because you've got this great work, not so. That's not why people have great works all over again. But God calls us before the foundation of the world. It's what he needs done that makes you who you are. It's not what you have done. It's what God needs done that makes you who you are. And so it's not going to work the way a lot of folk think. So what happened anyway, they came out, and all of a sudden you're in the wilderness. You went from Egypt, the civility, to the wilderness, and you're like, oh, no, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out. Well, thank God that wasn't Moses, because if that was Moses, we wouldn't be talking today. Now, Moses goes, and they're finally ready. Okay, God even gave him a chance. I could take you to a country. I could put you into another land. See, God proved the point. I can put you into another land. You want to go? Come on. I got something over here called Kadesh Barnea. Go over there. Y'all go over there and see if you want to get in there. And you know what? They proved they weren't ready to get in because they were brought out easily. They thought they should go into the future or go into their destiny easily, and that wasn't the case. Again, I make my point. They could not go into Kadesh Barnea because it was owned by somebody who was already existing, and it was established and all of that, and they were not. They came out not to fight. They came out to move in. But God said, I have to make you warriors because everything that's existing has a resistor. Everything that exists has a resistor. So whatever's existing today that you know is your call and your destiny, because we do that as prophets, we're coming through that to you. But if it's existing today and someone else is enjoying it, you're going to be a resistor. And if you're not strong enough to resist the person who says, I'm not moving, or I'm keeping, or I'm it, if you're not stronger or smarter or wiser or whatever you call it, however way you want to voice it, you're going to stay in the wilderness, and you're going to die in the wilderness. Because to enter into anything God has in this planet means that you're going to have to deal with who was already there. And a lot of Christians have been talked out of that. We've been talked out of school. We've been talked out of training. We've been talked out of learning. We've been talked out of confrontation, conflict, whatever. We've been talked out of anything because we've been talked into 100% passivity. Let's just be passive and eat off the land. Let's just get what we can get and be happy. But for some of you, that is not enough. And those are the ones that I'm talking to today. So God is ready to go into Kadesh Barnea. He's giving them an opportunity. Now, you know, the Lord Almighty knows they aren't going to go. How are they going to go? Prepared if they do. But he knows human nature. He knows where they've just come from. He knows that they were slaves, and the heart of a slave is not always the heart of a warrior. And he knows that if you have a bunch of slaves, it's going to take years to turn that brokenness, that shatteredness, that intimidation into a warring mindset to make them want to fight. Even you have to first go from having no esteem to self-esteem. Once we get some self-esteem, then we have to figure out, get some strength, okay? We got to deal with the inferiority. All of the things that were used as weapons of our enslavement have to be removed, and God's got to put in their place the powers of attainment, the powers of conquest, the powers of achievement, and that takes time. That is why some of you have gotten a word when you were a teenager and still waiting for that word to be fulfilled, like Moses. God had a word on Moses, and he was waiting, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and he was waiting. And then he finally, I would imagine that when he hit 80, he said, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm out. And here comes God in a bush. And God had to show up in a bush because the guy had already gone through a whole lot of waiting and disappointment and false starts and fast, you know, false doors and maybes and is this it. And eventually you get jaded. Eventually you get tired. You get tired of thinking this is it and this is the day. And you start saying, I'm going to settle into my life until I'm done and I'm ready to die. And so God shows up in the bush, and that's how he commands his attention. So now we're in this wilderness. He's telling the people, okay, Moses is like, we're going to go. And already he's got leaders. See, he's got all of these leaders who are comfortable with where it is, talking about, but I don't think we ought to go in like that. I really think that we ought to investigate it. I mean, we don't even know what we're looking at here. We don't even know what we're facing here. So I don't think we should go in. I think what we ought to do is, you know, let's talk it out a little bit, and let's see what we can all agree on. And when we can agree, maybe we'll send in a couple of spies. I tell you what, we'll send some folks there and let them check out the land. These people are talking this language after the unthinkable has given them the privilege to voice an opinion that someone cares about. Think about that. You're a slave. Nobody cares what you're saying. Nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares what you feel. But you're now here because of the greatness of God, his majestic deliverance, and you are now talking as if you pulled it off. This man has got you through the Red Sea. He's fed you and all the stuff. But anyway, going on, they go and he sends in the spies. And only two leaders are ready to come back with God's story. Why? Because they stepped out of their captivity with God's vision in heart. And so Joshua and Caleb comes back, and they say, hey, we can do it. Why? Because they're still living. Because last month this time, we were making brick with nothing. Last month this time, we were making brick. Listen to this, guys. They were making brick and getting whipped. That's what we were doing. That was our life. We're now in a desert where the Egyptian army, our captors are gone. We don't have to fear for our lives to figure out how we're going to make it from day to day. And you know what? This happened because this man obeyed God, a God we forgot we had, and here we are in the wilderness. So if they can pull this off, I'm convinced, because Egypt was a mightier nation, I'm convinced we can take this. Two leaders were ready to go forward. That meant the majority of the people were not ready to do any more than stay and bask in the glory of the victory they had and not go forward. I don't want to rock the boat. This is good. There's nothing wrong with this. We're eating. We're sleeping. We live good. We got, you know, we have a nice home. And I don't mean, we don't have to rock the boat. And so God knew that because he knew that that wasn't the warring generation. That was not the generation that God was going to use for the promised land. Kadesh Barnea was never a promised land. It was a test case. And they didn't pass the test. And so that was fine. So God says, go, turn, take your journey into the wilderness. And so they did. He said, and like the kids that you swear I brought you out so that I can kill them, they're going to go in where I want, but you're going to die in the wilderness. Why? Because you like the wilderness. Because you don't want to go into anything else. You don't want to fight for anything or press or war. So they did. But something miraculous happened at the same time. The two leaders that came out with God's vision in mind and were unmoved by opposition. Hear what I just said. Now, because they were all, you know, think about it. They were all out there in the wilderness. We don't know what God is doing, but opposition. Now, they're young men, but they still caught the vision. But when God got ready to take them into the promised land, they were not young men. They were in the wilderness. And remember now, we've been in this wilderness 40 years at least. So they were in the wilderness 40 years. So if they were 16, they're in their 50s. If they were 20, they're in their 60s, and now they're entering in. What are they taking in? The same thing that God relied on with Moses, except now they have a little Moses to add to it. They're taking in wisdom. They're taking in wars. They're taking in building. They're taking in studies. They're taking in humanities. They're taking in sociology. They're taking in biology. They're taking in all of the things that you need to establish a state. And they are taking all of that in. But he didn't do it when they were younger. He used their strength when they were younger to help Moses. But when it was time for them to enter in, he did not start with a new Joshua and a new Caleb. And there's a reason why. So for those of you who are saying, I don't know what God wants me, I don't feel like, I used to think that what he told me he was going to do, well, I got prophecies that said, Moses had all of that. Your job is to know that sometimes God needs your strength, and sometimes he needs your good sense. And sometimes, if he's really fortunate, he can get both. Those are rarity. You know, Joshua's was a rarity. And in order for Joshua to lead those people in, the pastor said he went into the tabernacle and never came out again. He got handpicked him, let Moses groom him and tutor him, and then God took him over in that tabernacle and got him ready to be the warrior that would take those nations that God was giving him and his people as an inheritance. So don't write off your education. Don't write off your experience. Don't write off those meetings that you had, those endless projects, and all of those ventures that you undertook. Don't write off your failures, your setbacks. Don't write off your quick starts and your fast finish. All of that will come together. When the call of destiny comes, everything you live comes together in your destiny as if it's a vortex, and it sucks your whole life experience in and assembles it, shuffles it around, and then assembles it to be the thing that God needs. And some of you who are listening to me today, that's what God is doing. That is what he's saying. Some of you young ones who are attached to them know that you are that future. And don't get so caught in the now that you're enjoying, that you have shut your eyes to the fact that, your now is a pass-through, but your future is your destiny. And destiny is the destination. That's where it was all headed in the first place. It was already decreed to end up. Remember, destiny, destination, they come from the same thing, okay? And God is saying to some of you all, stop telling him how old you are. Stop telling him how tired you are. Stop telling him how weak you are. Stop telling him how busy you've been. Tell the Lord yes, because there are some things that heaven is about to release on this planet that only the masterful, only the serious, only the courageous, and only the well-learned and well-taught can carry out for him. Moses was an expert by the time God called him. He was an expert. He'd been a politician. He'd been a leader. He'd been a king's son. He had been a statesman. He had been a warrior. He had been a strategist. Moses was an expert. And this idea that God wants to use people who have no kind of anything is really rare. Now, that doesn't say it can't happen. But you understand, if the higher God wants to go, the higher he will take the person he wants to use to send them. Now, think about this. God had he had 12 apostles and three main ones when it's all said that came down to us. But when God wanted to establish his state, the spiritual state called the kingdom of Christ, when he wanted to establish that as a nation state, he used a man with similar experience. He used somebody who had been educated, been trained, been tried, had to climb the ranks, knew what it is to climb the ranks, know what it is to climb the ladder, know what it is to fight and to contend for success. He used that man to do it. So there's a place for every one of us. But let us not keep locking each other in the places that God put us. We all have purpose. Some of you all who are older, if you are willing to be, if you are forward thinking, God's going to use you. If you are ready to move forward with God, he's going to use you. If you are that one who understands that this thing, this was good, and now it's time for the next good thing, that God's not going to take us all away tomorrow. We're all going to be here next month. If you're that leader, listen, pay attention to what the Lord is saying to you. If you're a young person attached to that kind of a leader, hang on, because there's a future for you. Your inheritance is in their achievement. Your inheritance is in their attainment. You have to know that. But by all means, don't get caught up and be deterred by the people who feel like, oh, no, this is nice, because God has he has sustainers, he's got maintainers, and then he has attainers. Remember that. Sustainers, maintainers, attainers. And you have to find out where you are, because some people are really attainers. They're everything God wants, they want to move forward. Some people are maintaining. Come on, we need the maintenance crew. We need the maintenance people. You don't want to go in any building that doesn't have a maintenance team. And then you need the sustainers, the people who know how to keep something going and keep it thriving so that it stays where it needs to go. So you have to know where you are in this whole scheme, because if you are the one who is the attainer, it doesn't make a difference if you're 16 or 660. It doesn't matter. God is ready to move. And you need to know, if he's ready to move, the number one thing you have to ask him is, what must I do to be prepared and equipped? Because most of you all, a lot of your work, a lot of your career equipped you, but then you trashed it because you came to church and got spiritual. And so you blew off all of those skill sets. You blew off those abilities, those competencies, and you settled into being a good worshiper. But God needs now worshipers, workers, and warriors. And winners. I'll end it on that. Worshippers, workers, warriors, and winners. See, most of us stopped at worshiping, and a few of us went into work. A few less went into war, And if you don't war, you don't win. So winning was out of the picture. God bless you. Ashley, hallelujah. You see, I got excited. I got caught up in that. But I pray the point was made today. Hallelujah.
Well, that was powerful. Excuse me. That was powerful teaching and, of course, provoking, thought-provoking as always. God always starts a new thing in the primitive. That's a painful moment right there because we always want to say changing of the guard is just stepping in where somebody else left out. I mean, I think the point that you hit on the most was how Israel came out not to fight but to move in. And so they were in shock when they met a fight. And so many of us are in shock and then awe and disbelief and then anger and denial, and we go through all of these cycles and seasons that take years to get over because we are coming out to a fight and not just to move in to like it's a ready-made home.
It's powerful. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is that we will always quote it, but we don't know what it means. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Well, what is he saying? All the lap of luxury, the big stuff, all of the comforts, et cetera, if you're called to do a new thing. Now, if you're called to perpetuate, again, maintain, sustain, that may not be the case. You will enter into a finished work. You'll enter into something that's established. You're into something built up. But when he starts out, as he did with them, a nation, they entered into Jericho after the first crew died. And this crew became the super force that ate nothing but the bread of heaven. And we'll talk about that another time. But that's what entered in. And so they, and even entering to finished work, there was a war, which means a lot of that finished work was destroyed anyway. Because in war, war tears up stuff. But
yes,
I think that's powerful. It's interesting you zeroed in on that.
Well, you know, because that's where we usually miss it, is we get the astounding prophecy, and it's always in this amazing service, and the worship music is playing, and the prophet is slinging oil, and you're shaking and quaking, and it's like, wow, I can do anything. And then you get up there, and you find out people start losing jobs. You have to start making tough decisions. The children start crying. The wife gets angry. And then all of a sudden, where's God? How did I miss God? How can this be true? I mean, if God told me these amazing things, why am I going through? Because even though we've read many of these things, we don't connect it with it's still the same process, it's still the same way. And when you said the heart of a slave is not always the heart of a warrior, wow! Again, Selah, that's something to think about because there are people who are wrapped up in their bondage, whatever the case may be, and they will fight their way out. And then there are people who will sit there and whine and cry and talk about it the rest of their life and not do anything. But you really don't think about it in the term of you need to have a heart of a warrior to really break free and not just be fed up with where you are. So many of us, of course, are fed up with where we are, but we really don't have the heart to do what it takes to make change.
It is so powerful to think about that because we have talked people out of their strength. You know, every day I try to put another something out there on Facebook or whatever to talk people's strength back up. It's there. It's sleep. It's buried. It's dormant. It's tattered. You know, it's been through and battled, you know, when you're in the church where they kept telling you you're prideful because you knew where you were decisive. You're prideful because you understood where you were going. You're prideful because you could do something in a moment and get it done and, you know, keep doing it. So I do that because, you know, even in our leadership training, Ashley, you'll remember, we talked about you can't get anything done with a weak person.
No.
And strong's not wrong. Strong sees to it that you win for a long time. But weak people, you can't get anything done with a weak person. They're scared. You just got through saying it. My wife's mad. My husband can't stand me. My mom's going to throw me out. My dog's going to bite me. The bird's not going to come home. The cat's going to meow. All that. I mean, we got a lot of silly reasons. But all of them are bound up in the fact that we are afraid. And being afraid is not a problem because God can flip fear in the face in a moment. But he can't flip your will. And it comes down to having a will do and a will to win and a will to do what it takes to win. And that's powerful, but that's something that we noticed. Even in our development, I think in our training, the thing that stood out the most with people is that how many church leaders break their people's will and then wonder why the people can't hold fast. And I shared with them, do you remember the night I said this, Ashley? Here, I'm re-quoting it now, that if you
you say it if you have the quote in front of you, because, see, I want to get it right. I know how it made me feel, but I know you can actually say what you said.
I said, if you cower your people, they can't protect you and defend you. You cannot make guards out of fearful folk. You cannot break your people's will and think they're going to win battles for you. That cannot happen. And that is what we've been trying to do. We've rebuked them for this, and we rebuked them for that, and we've terrorized them over here. We've called them dirty names. We've put them in all kinds of crazy things. We've used scripture to club them over the head, and then want to talk about, I can't get these people to do a thing. Well, no. And it's the same thing with your children. You cannot tell your people, you can't intimidate your people with authority and think they're going to stand up with your against your adversary's authority. That's not going to happen. And so, anyway, we did all of this. Talents is a great course. All of these trainings are great. The whole purpose of this discussion was to let you know that God is causing us to think a new way. And, you know, we've been talking about a paradigm shift, and nobody's known what that looks like. It looks like this. It's shifting from the way of being a settlement into being a conquering agent. You know, the church is not settled any longer. We're no longer a settlement. You know, we might be situated, but we're not settled. And there's a difference between being situated and being settled. You know, so we may sit someplace in the kingdom, and we sit in the world, but we're not settled. There's an enormous unrest in the church, enormous unrest among the people of God. And so God is raising up people to resettle his church and most of all, to reveal his glory. Because we are, you know, people are thinking God's like us, and that's bad because we're in trouble. Hallelujah. Anyway, Prophet Ashley, do we have our field prophet out there for us? Is she ready to talk to us? No, she got to, because she's probably shouting by now. But do we have our field prophet out there?
The field prophet is out there, Prophet Adias.
Hello, Dr. Price. How are you this afternoon? You're on fire today.
I am. I'm telling you, the flames are all over me. I'm telling you, if I turn out the light, I would glow up in the room.
Yes, I'm loving it. I can't quite type fast enough, but I'm glad I got the hookup and I know how to go back and listen to the show later.
So you take advantage of that, huh?
I sure do. And that's a perfect segue. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Paula Price Show this afternoon. This is Prophet Adia here just to let you know how you can stay connected to Dr. Price after the program. If you want to play back the show today, you want to go to our show site, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. When you get there, all you want to do is go ahead and scroll down on the page and look for the featured episode. The featured episode is usually the current show from this week. You can also check out the date of the show if you want to go back and listen to a prior week that a friend may have told you about, or if you know there's a week that you missed. So you can catch up on everything Paula Price Show at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Now, of course, we want you to join us online. So if you are on Facebook, we want you to visit Dr. Price's page at Apostle Paula Price and click like so that you can follow her for all the good, juicy quotes, the power bites, the word in seasons, wisdom, all kinds of things that she makes her Facebook family privy to. We want to make sure you become a part of that Facebook community. So look her up on Facebook.com and look under Apostle Paula Price. You can also catch up with Dr. Price on Twitter. She tweets too, twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price. If you are a businessman or woman, then make sure that you connect with her on LinkedIn. You're going to go to linkedin.com and look her up under Dr. Paula Price so that you can get in on all of those business and leadership tips that you know you need. So go on linkedin.com and follow her there under Dr. Paula Price. Just like Dr. Price was talking about a little bit earlier on the program, we do have classes for you. It is our goal in 2014 to make sure that you are equipped and educated and trained for the things that God has called you to do, because your success really is our passion. So we want you to visit drpaulaprice.com so that you can check out her class on building your commission team, which she talked about earlier on the broadcast. If you go to drpaulaprice.com, you're going to see right there on the homepage building your commission team and how you can get involved in that class. We want you to register your team. So when you do, you get 10% off of each student or leader in your team. If you would like to register your group, five or more constitutes a group. So if you have a group of five or more, we want to extend a 10% discount to you. You can register your group by giving us a call at 877-419-1299. And we'll make sure that we get everyone in your group a link to the class and information on how they can go ahead and get registered. When they complete the course, that does come with a certificate, so you can make sure that your team is commission certified. Very important, and we want to make sure that you can do that. So give us a call, 877-419-1299, so we can make sure that your team is commission certified. Now, of course, as was talked about earlier on the show as well, the Talents Leadership course is coming soon to a computer near you. Everything convenient and online for you to take that. So look for information on the Talents Leadership course on drpaulaprice.com as well so that you can make sure that your team gets all that they need to be the very best leaders that they can be. Last but certainly not least, I am sure that if you are on our email list, you have received the emails this week about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. It is coming to Tulsa soon. June 19th through the 21st is our annual Tulsa Prophetic Forum. If you know anyone that went last year, then you already know that you cannot afford to miss this year. It's going to be held in Tulsa at the Tulsa Southern Hills Crown Plaza. All the information is online, drpaulaprice.com, that you need to get yourself registered. Right now, for a limited time, we are doing our very famous buy one, get one free offer. Do not miss it. Take advantage of it right now. Take this down, drpaulaprice.com, Tulsa Prophetic Forum. You just want to click on the link that says events, and it's going to take you exactly where you need to go. Our buy one, get one offer is buy one, get one for $125. So when you buy your standard registration at $125, you can bring a friend for free. Don't let them off that easy, though. Split the cost with them, and it's a value for everybody. So we want to make sure that you take advantage of that. We are so excited. We cannot wait to see you this June. So make sure you log on, drpaulaprice.com, to attend the Tulsa Prophetic Forum and get all the information that you need. Prophet Ashley, I think I covered it all. We'll see you guys online.
Wonderful. I also want to add to that, Prophet Adia, that if you are in the Joliet, Illinois surrounding area or that area, we're going to be posting information from Apostle Nona Parker. They are actually bringing a charter bus down to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum with an extraordinary rate. So stay tuned. She had just sent me the details. I'm going to get those to Prophet Adia, and you will see them showing up online as well. So if you're in those areas and you're like, hey, I want to come, but the cost of a plane ticket is for real, and driving might be too far for you to do by yourself, get on the bus. Get on board with Apostle Nona's team and come down to Tulsa in June for an event that you will never forget.
Whew. Well, I'm overwhelmed, and I mean in a good way, you know?
Well, you know what, Dr. Price? We'll get you there.
It's exciting, you know? It's so exciting to see God move and to establish what he wants to do. I was excited when I heard also, because I was when we talked about it when we were in Joliet, I thought, wow, that's a great idea. And she, you know, they need to let her know soon, because that night, those nights that we were there for the event, they were lining up. Yeah, we want this. If the price is so affordable that, you know, you're going for pennies a day. That's amazing. And so, hey, you can't be – and for the record, because I always have to say this, Ashley, and I hope we put it online, it's a luxury coach. We're not talking about the little yellow school bus, okay? We're talking about a luxury coach where you don't do anything but lay back in Comfyville with a bunch of saints who love on the Lord like you do, who want to learn more. And, you know, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to have all of these prophetic people in one bus. I'm thinking it's probably – can you imagine what that's going to be like? Oh, my gosh. praising God, worshiping God, celebrating the Lord. So that is a great idea, and I applaud Apostle Nona for doing that, because that's powerful. And they can do it from the surrounding areas, you know, those who are in the surrounding the Illinois area. And she said they'll bring as many as they need, but after a while, of course, you know, it shuts out. But you surely should contact her when we get that online. And you said Adia's going to have it up shortly. So I'm sure within the next few days or so, we'll see it. Whew, isn't that a great idea? That's a great idea.
It's a good idea.
It surely is. Well, are we going to cover any more announcements? Is there anything else that we missed?
No. Would you like me to play some spots? Do you want to go right to your callers?
I want to take a couple of calls, and then we'll do some spots when I'm ready for my water break.
All right. We'll give you water today.
Okay. Hey, Ashley, remember you did that. Some folks got a little less, they got concerned about.
Is he coming back? Okay. Here we go. We have a praise report. Returning to the Paula Price Show is Nikai from Bermuda. Dr. Price, she, and I'm sure her sons are in the close background, has a praise report for you about what you prayed for when she last called in. So, Nikai, all the way from Bermuda, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Price.
Good morning, Dr.
Good morning. It's good to hear you guys again.
Yes, we are here and listening, and just want to say thank you very much, Dr. Price. We appreciate you and what God is doing through you, and your obedience to God is like, you know, you've become our role model on how to obey the Lord. And we receive your words of wisdom and your loving rod of correction, as always, and we apply it to our lives. So we have round one, we have won. The prosecution dropped the charges.
Hallelujah! You know God!
Hallelujah. So now I understand that it's not just the getting, but it's also the keeping. So and the comeback plan and the retrieving all. So I'm calling this round one because we still have a few more rounds to work out, and we are determined. I feel like if God could do that, He really and truly, I mean, I already know He can do anything, but when you are the one in it and then you witness Him do the impossible according to man's standard, it's exciting. It's mind-blowing, just what you said.
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, let me thank you for coming back to let us know, because I often wonder, you know, well, I don't have to wonder. The people who come back touch my heart, and it lets me know how powerfully God is moving in this show. I know that my prayers work. I know that I have that position and all of that, but it's good for me to hear, and those out there are callers to know God is moving for His people, and that is powerful. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But it was, I mean, we, as you, how you put it, we feasted on, I don't know, all of the teachings that you have done, that we have the CDs of. I have about 50 of your teachings, and listening to your new teachings on the Blog Talk Radio, and it's just been wonderful. I mean, it's been really exciting. So, I mean, tiring, trying, and like you pointed out in one of your other CDs, the physical reaction that you will have when you come up against a giant, a situation that you were completely unprepared for, hadn't even considered would happen, that your body does do that automatic response thing, and you have to consciously say and take on the mind of Christ and do things as God would do them if He were in our place. So, of course, you know, we've been listening to your grace and virtue teachings. So thank God for his grace, because it definitely sustained us, me in particular.
Well, listen, first of all, I want to thank God for it, and I want to bless you all for calling back and letting us know. We rejoice in our Savior for giving us such a quick turnaround of a long-standing church. I mean, that's a long-standing situation. But now I want to pray for him to finish so we can make sure that your next call is going to say, home free.
Amen.
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 Amen. Father God, we love you, we love you, we love you. We adore you, Father, and we bless you, and we bless our sweet Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for Nakai and her family. I thank you that, you know, I've watched her sons grow up and them just to roll into one victory after another in life. So I bless you for them. Now, God, I thank you that you sent down your own agents and you slayed that giant for them. Now we thank you for finishing the process, God, and quickly finishing it. And, God, turning their shame to favor, turning their rejection to acceptance, and, Lord, even turning their obstacles into opportunities. I bless you for giving them a place in that land. I bless you for bringing them into the favor of those in authority. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for a 100% breakthrough. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Dr. Price. God bless you, Dr. Price.
God bless you all, too. So I expect the next call to say, all in, we're done.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Prophet.
Like a mini family reunion.
Wasn't it wonderful? I cannot believe that her sons are grown by now. It's just amazing to me how time flies. And but wasn't that testimony awesome?
Oh, yes, it was. And I appreciate the quick turnaround from the Lord and Nakai talking about having a mountain of your teaching and really leaning on that those teachings and that word to get through this season, this trial, literal trial. You know, we say trials and we just like hardship. This is an actual trial.
No, some of us are not even hardship, Ashley. Some of those are just upsets, you know. We stopped our toe. That's a trial. You know, some people fighting for their life, and they calling that a light affliction. So glad to serve Jesus Christ. But
yeah.
I praise God for it. So, you know, the next time we're going to hear, she's going to have a job, you know. She's going to, life is going to be good. Everything's going to be wonderful. Because when we grow and we get what God wants us to get out of a situation, he moves swiftly to turn it around. And I'm looking forward to hearing that testimony. Well, thank you for opening me up with something so cheerful. I'm ready. What's next?
Well, how about this too, Dr. Bryce? You know, the last time that Kai was here, she sowed a nice seed into this breakthrough and this victory. She just didn't say, hey, I believe God and I'm listening to some teachings. I mean, she laid it down where it counts and said, I am sowing and investing into this breakthrough because I need this turnaround, but I believe in your prayers, Dr. Price, and I want to bless you for it. And that was also, I know, a major contributing factor in God's ability to move in her situation.
And you know what, Ashley, that is true. Oftentimes we forget that. You know, I pray for a lot of people and you know, send words and whatever, and I never put out a cry for this or that. But I'll tell you something. I have been in this ministry for 30 years, and I have watched that when people pull something from their heart to what they want God to do, then God moves in a different way. Because when it's all said and done, expedition is a transaction. If we want God to expedite, he transacts that. And when you read the Bible, that's throughout the scripture. A lot of people are waiting for prophecies to be fulfilled, but God wants it to be a transaction. Because if it costs you nothing, you'll get in that mess again. But when it costs you a little something, you're a little careful about getting in it again. That's a good point to make. Hallelujah. So who do we have, girl?
Okay. We have Tobias from Alabama. He's calling in today. I believe you have spoken with him before, but he is calling for prayer and insight. So, Tobias, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Yes. Bless you, Apostle. How you doing?
I am great. How are you, Tobias? Good to hear your voice again.
Yes, ma'am. Good to hear yours.
So what are you up to now?
Oh, I just want some some confirmation and some insight spiritually on, you know, where I'm standing at with God. What is he saying right
and
now?
So,
for my...
Okay, so now do you, I mean, you realize that life is a big thing. We live 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Is there any way you want me to, gotcha, didn't I? Did you want me to zero in on anything in particular, or you just want me to spray gun?
Yes, ma'am. I want you to really, you know, whatever the Spirit of the Lord lets you see, I really want you to go kind of deep, like some confirmation on some things, because I'm trying to spiritually, you know, with me and God, because I'm trying to get to this place. And
well, a couple of things.
Okay, Apostle, I'm listening.
Okay, a couple of things are coming up to me right now. Number one is God said to say to you, will you listen? And will you heed, and will you obey? You know, I'm looking at your life, since you want me to get out there like that, which is very risky with people like me, but I'm going to go there anyway. I'm a Shia. Okay, you sent me. I'm going. And so, but I'm looking at your life right now, and God says that you missed a couple of very significant opportunities that set you back. God said that you allowed the information and counsel of men to derail you. You have got to get to a point in him that his word is law and that his word settles the matter. And so I hear God saying that you have a couple of opportunities that you just missed. Now, I'm looking back several years. This is not something that just happened in 2014. I want to tell you that I'm going back to like 2008. And I'm looking at things that God's needed you to do and things he's needed you to handle. Even counsel, he said, that he needed you to take, because you are a person that you love the Lord and you want to do it right, but you care a little too much for people and their opinions. And God says, I need you to settle down, buckle down, and to remember I am your Lord and I am your God. And I know you. I formed you from the womb, says the Holy Ghost. I broke through all kinds of records to see to it that you arrived at this day in your life. As a matter of fact, you are a man that has been under threat with silly things for a long time. But God said, I want you to let me be God and Lord in your life. The first thing I want you to do is study my word like I told you to do. And I don't know if we talked about school, but for some reason you got in school are still going around in a circle. So I don't know if you didn't finish or you're not using what you finished. But I'm telling you that God says, I have ordered your steps when you didn't know it. He said, and I have ordered your steps through your dreams and in your sleep. Now, you are a man that God deals with in your sleep. So I'm telling you that you need to go back to those things that you wrote down and those things that you thought were just pizza and reread them, because God says he has given you a roadmap and a plan. I'm looking at it, and there is a blueprint under your feet. Even as I'm looking in the spirit, your foot is standing on a blueprint. And you just only need to look down and see it, because sometimes we overlook and blow off the obvious because we want something spectacular to lead us into the things of God. That is what I'm getting for you right away.
Wow. Everything was on it, Apostle, everything you said. And, that's why I feel like it's kind of like a circle, but at the same time, to get to that place, calling me at, which, like you say, study the word, whatever, but I basically have to be, well, all the way surrendered or whatever for the things that he's saying. And, kind of like you say, it's kind of like hard because everybody who I interact with over them years saying different. That's why I was asking you. And you went, well, and the Lord went right into it, because everyone's saying something different. But I try to do what God say do, but it's kind of hard, especially when you're around people of different spirits, you know what I'm saying? What I mean by that is it'll zap you. You see what I'm saying? Your faith will be to a certain extent, because once you get to a point in God, everything becomes supernatural, being that he have to do it. You can't do it. So, you know, when you be weak, spiritually saying that you are not around enough strength to really deliver and get to where you need to be at, you just find yourself in a dormant place. That's what I've been feeling. But at the same time, God still been speaking and still been telling me things. And I just wanted to hear what he was saying for this time, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. and then you're, and then it's going to be on you and God. The first thing I'm going to tell you is you need to get back in your Bible and you need to read. Maybe you read more and talk to less people, you get a chance to talk to the Holy Ghost a little more. So you need to get back into your Bible because that's where your clarity comes from. You get clarity from that. That's the first thing. The second thing God said is that you want to get back to praying and praying through. Because when I pray through something, I don't need a piece of counsel. It's only when I'm trying to short-circuit the time that God is making me put into getting his mind on the subject that I then want to call everybody and get all of these opinions. Well, I'm bad at that anyhow because I don't really do that a lot. But there have been times that I have. But I'm saying to you, the Holy Spirit said, before you start going polling your friends and asking everybody, he said, get in your word, spend some time with me in prayer closet. This is what I hear God saying to you. But in the future, everybody's life, as they go forward in life, you have to have your own life rules. And though you have to have life rules that work for you. The Holy Spirit is telling me to say to you that you need to give no less than 3 days of prayer to every issue before you take it out of your prayer closet and start sharing it with friends. Because you have to recognize people are going to answer you from a bunch of different perspectives that you never imagined because they're going to answer you how they see you. They're going to answer you how they see God. They're going to answer you how they've been trained, how they've studied the scripture, how they believe. And they're also going to answer you by what they're living in the moment. So when you're starting to seek outside advice, you have to be very careful who you choose. And you need to get yourself one or two faithful confidants that you can trust. And those are the people that you pray with. And you should not seek counsel from a lot of people that you don't pray with because truly the people that you pray with or the people you know who are praying for you are the ones that are going to break through all of those other possibilities and give you the mind of the Lord on your matter. And so I hear God saying to you, I need you to get into prayer. I need you to get into your Bible. I need you to get some good teachings. May I suggest you go to my website, my online store, and download some of those teachings. I also suggest that if you want counsel, when this call is over, that you call into my office and say, you know what? I want to talk to one of those prophets. We don't know you. We don't have a vested interest in you doing what we say or not. But you need that. You need to have some confidants that you can trust. That is what God is saying to you today. Because you, if there is nothing wrong with you seeking counsel, that's a good thing. But you have to seek counsel to after you have put in your time with God. Because and you have to decide whose counsel is trustworthy and whose counsel is not.
That's right. That's exactly right, Apostle. Because 9 times out of 10, I already know so. When they say it, I already know it don't be God. So I don't even receive it. You see what I'm saying? So I really don't even ask nobody. I just go off of what I know. So that's why I've been standing kind of like the way I stand, and I be stuck because my covering or whatever, they can't even, you know, just being real, they don't even see it. But, you know, you have people who don't be on their post or whatever, but we ain't got to go into all that because you wise. You very wise. But what I'm saying is that, you know, exactly like you said, you're going to have somebody that's there spiritually. They'll pull you there. If not, you're on your own. And that's just how I feel right now, and I know that's how it is because the things that I be dealing with, no one see them, and I don't go all the way out there. I just put a little something out there, and then when they don't see it and come with some corner, I just don't even go there with them. You see what I'm saying? And I just keep on continuing going with God. But at the same time, he's showing me stuff. He's showing me things that's going on because don't nothing happen in my life really without him showing me. You see?
Well, let me ask you this. I want to ask you this. Have you taken my assessment?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so you're going to do that because, see, the next time you call, I'm going to ask you that and you're going to tell me yes. So you're going to take the assessment. It's going to give you some information you need because you need it. You're really searching. You are in a genuine search mode. And so I strongly suggest that you take my assessment. When we hang up, just go to my website, hit drpaulaprice.com, take an assessment. You're going to love doing that. That's number one. Number two, when you take your assessment, you're going to get an opportunity to talk to one of my advisor prophets who follow up with everyone who takes an assessment. You'll get an opportunity to schedule some more time to talk with them and to get some information you need, but you'll also have an opportunity to create a relationship so that you can get somebody that you can sound off on and get some questions answered and some counsel for who are not that close to you. You get someone who is not that tied to your own personal life. You need some objectivity around you right now, and I think those are the two things I recommend for you today.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's good.
All right, so I'm going to pray, and then you're going to remember, because when you call again, because I know the saints now, so when you call again, Prophet Ashley put you through, I want you to know, we're going to say, did you take the assessment? And
right.
So why? Because I want to know that you're doing all you can to get the information you're seeking from God, and you'll be surprised at how in-depth our assessments are. Again, I don't know where your level is, but when you go, if you have a question about which one you should take, just call the office. Say, you know, she told me to take an assessment. I don't know which one to take. They'll help you. But you don't have to go it alone, and you do have someone who is not tied to your personal life who can give you some objective answers and objective information on the things of God. Because even if a person is a prophet, after they've been ministering to you for a certain amount of time, you do want to make sure you get someone who is not in that circle so that you can make sure that the relationship is pure. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to pray, and then you're going to go and follow my counsel and watch God move, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Father, thank you in Jesus' omnipotent name for who you are. Lord, we love you. You're a great God. I thank you for Tobias. I thank you, Lord, for the walk that he's walked. I thank you for the wisdom that he's gained. I thank you, God, for his love for you and his commitment for you. God, he is groping, trying to find you, to find where you are in his life. And I thank you that you take him by the hand and you take over his search and lead him and guide him in the way that you want him to go. Make known your purposes to him, Lord. Make known your will to him, God. And then find his connections that he can trust and feel safe with as he continues his journey with you in this world and in his life, whether it's professional or ministerial, even whether it's for family, God. I'm asking that you give him good quality counsel in his circle that he can rely on, and then give him a heart to trust that counsel and to trust the ones that you put around him. Give him discernment so he'll know the ones that he shouldn't trust. And I ask you to do this all, Father, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. You be blessed.
So very, very well.
Yes,
ma'am. God bless you.
God bless you, Apostle.
All right, next.
Yeah, all right. That's some good counsel on how to get your good counsel, actually.
I like that. We said, that's good counsel on how to get good counsel.
Get good counsel. You heard it here, folks, on the Paula Price Show at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. All right, we have next on the line, who do I want to go to next? So many great things happening today. We're going to go to Quentin from Virginia, and he's going to tell you about how he even heard from you. You'll be very amused to hear how, but Quentin has a question. He had a dream, and it involved important women in his life, and also his grandmother, who has passed away many years ago, showed up in this dream. Quentin from Virginia, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much. First of all, grace and peace to you, Apostle. Thanks for taking the time to do this show. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the show. Now, is this your first time calling us?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad that we're talking today. That makes it even better.
Well, the announcer just told me to tell you how I heard about you. Does the name Calvin ring a bell?
A couple. I know a couple,
okay.
Calvin.
All right. Well, my brother is Calvin Franklin. Yes, ma'am. And he's listening today, and he said, well, you know, there's a woman that I believe in, and I believe that she'll be able to help you or at least give you some guidance concerning your dream. So him and I are very, very close, so I usually take his advice, so here I am.
Well, great, and hello, Calvin, who is listening. God bless you, and thank you for referring your brother to the Paula Price Show. All right, now, Quentin, it's your time. We've given him his time. Now it's your time. How can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I had a dream a couple nights ago, and I'm just going to get right into it. What happened, I went into a store that at first I thought may have been a grocery store. There were people standing in a line, and I was on the phone with my wife, and we were in the same store, but I couldn't see her, but she could see me. It was kind of sort of like a joke. She was like playing a joke on me or something. And then she just popped up, you know, we laughed about it. And then I moved on, and as I went deeper into the store, it looked to be a restaurant. And I walked around a buffet table, and I bumped into my god sister. And, you know, we hugged, and we chit-chatted or whatever. And then I moved on from her, and I saw my god sister's mother, who I call my mother, my godmother. And I gave her a hug, and she was pushing a cart. And I gave her a hug, and I asked her, I said, well, are you just getting back from out of town or something like that? And then as I turned, I saw my biological mother. And she looked at us, my godmother and I, like she was jealous. She had a certain look on her face. And so I threw up the peace sign to her, and then I walked over to the table where she was sitting. And when I turned to my right, I saw my grandmother, who's been dead for 13 years. Okay, she died when I was about 15 or 16, somewhere along there. She's been dead for 13 years, and then sitting beside her was a lady that I used to call grandmother, and I had forgotten about that, but Calvin reminded me of it when I told him the dream, that I used to call grandmother. Now, my mom and this lady named Sister Ward sat at the table and were silent. They never spoke, but when I turned to my grandmother, she had this huge smile on her face. It was kind of so like a glow. It was like, you know, she was just smiling, and she said these words to me, and I, the reason I'm calling is because some people would take this as an obvious, but I don't want to do that unless I get some spiritual guidance. She said, little pastor, you know, she was smiling and chuckling and laughing, and it was kind of sort of like I reminded her of a pastor or something like that, and I turned to her, and I said these words. I said, grandmother, I love you so much, and I miss you, and Apostle Price, she embraced me. And I embraced her, and I could smell her in the natural. I could smell her. I could feel her arms, and we embraced. And it was kind of so like a couple minutes. And it was like in the natural, I felt her arms around. And when I woke up, it messed me up so bad. I broke down because my grandmother and I never had that type of relationship where she embraced me like that. You know, she died so early on in my life. You know, I didn't get to know her. We didn't have a really close relationship, and she never, ever embraced me that way, and it just really touched me that, you know, she would come to me in my dream. But I still want to know what this dream means. It's perplexing me and why she would show up. I never dreamed about her. I've never seen her in a vision. I constantly think about her, but it's just really perplexing me what's going on. Can you help me?
Yeah, I can, but now tell me this. Why do you constantly think about her?
I miss her a lot. I just want, you know, she was the rock of our family. She held our family together. I wanted her to see my children, you know, her great grandchildren. It just things like that. I mean, I don't think of her all day every day, but just sometimes my brother and I'll be talking, and we just really say, you know, I miss grandma. You know, just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Especially if she was very. If she was very instrumental or very influential in your childhood, your formative years, you know, you do miss them.
Okay.
All of those kinds of things. You know, a couple of things are going on there. First of all, I think it's interesting that it's all women. So were you raised by a mom or something?
Well, I was raised by my mom, but my dad was in the house. But he, you know, I love my dad, but he wasn't very active in raising us. He was there most of the time. He worked all day. I didn't see him a whole lot. Then when I became 18, found out that, you know, someone else was my biological father. So I don't know if that plays a role in it or whatever. But I was really sort of raised by my mom, and then my godmother would keep me a lot, not the one in the dream. And I know this may be confusing, but, you know, it's not a single-parent home, but dad wasn't as involved as he could have been.
Okay, I only want to ask you one other question because I want to make sure that the information that I am gathering in the spirit is accurate, and that is, was your family quite involved in church, or was it your grandmother that kept the church piece going?
Actually, it was inherited. My grandmother was a district missionary for the Church of God in Christ for a long time, and she was very instrumental in church. My heritage goes back to the Church of God in Christ. My mom was and this is a part of the dream that I forgot to tell you, so I'm glad you asked. My grandmother went to a church named Mount Lebanon. I go to a church named Mount Lebanon, two different churches, and the lady that was sitting beside my grandmother goes to a church named New Hope. my mother goes to a church named Rock of Hope. So I'm not really sure where that plays a part, but when I was raised, it was church, school, and home. That's the only place you were allowed to go. So, yes, our family was very involved in church.
Okay. So your family's involved in church, and your grandmother, who's been dead 13 years, was a bishop,
yes.
Which means she's very influential.
No, she was a district missionary.
A district missionary. Okay, so she was a district missionary. When you said that, I had to make sure I cleared it up because I thought I understood the Church of God in Christ. Okay. But I said, my God, did they have a breakthrough? I don't know. Anyway. I'm going to go on with this thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, but anyway, my question is because it seems that, and it seems like even the God sister and all of these are all of the close things. You have a close relationships with these women, with these people are all women, and they're all influential in your life. One's for you got your sister that's your God sister, this is partner. You got your sister. Did you say your sister or was it your mother?
It was my wife, then my God sister. Then my godmother, then my mother.
Okay, I got it. And so, and looking at what all of these women represent, is their influence in your life. Your grandmother comes as the matriarch, so she's God is using her because apparently whatever it is that she said, you believed. So she's going to be, she's your convincer. Like if mom couldn't get you to listen, mom couldn't, nobody else could, you are going to listen to grandma. And whether or not she was warm and fuzzy as you would have liked her to be, or whether she was firm, there was something about her words that altered the course of your life.
That's right.
So that's who God's going to use. You know, he always going to use that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, let me go on record to say, I don't do necromancy. I don't talk to the dead because I feel like if they were smart enough to tell me how to live, they wouldn't have been dead. So I'm done with that, okay?
Okay.
I don't do necromancy. This is not about that, but this is about God using the cherishments of your heart, the things that you cherish in your heart. And so he will also often use something that is cherishing in your heart, which means that your grandmother is that thing, that anchor. That's your anchor. And so your emotional anchor is her. And her words come back to you because she was the one that broke through in your mind when no one else could break through. That's how, you know, you felt like that. I mean, because anybody else, her counsel, you were the one, you would sit and listen to her. I'm looking at your little boy. You sitting there swinging your little knees, your little legs, and you listen to her because that's who affected you. It was something about the way she stood, the way she walked, the way she talked, how she carried herself that affected you from a little tyke. And so God knows that you could take that seriously. So that's number one. Number two, she told you your destiny, but you've forgotten it. You have forgotten what she told you you're going to be. And because you've forgotten it, God is using her to resurrect the call that he put in your life when you were about six. I'm looking at you between 6 and 7 years old, and you're sitting there, and your feet are swinging on this floor, on this little chair. The chair is too big for you, and you're fascinated. But she spent a lot of time dropping seeds of your destiny in your psyche, in your consciousness, and you have forgotten them. And so you are now at a place where you have been groping and trying to figure out who you are, where you are, what am I called to do in God. Now, you know, like you just said, I know the obvious, but I don't want to do the obvious because you know that the obvious is the coding over the reality. There's something real that God wants you, and you're going to have to go back, and I'm going to cause her words to come back up to your remembrance so that you can go back and listen to what she told you you were going to do. Because you, let me tell you what happened. You got in a fight with another kid, a scuffle. I don't know if it was a family member, cousin, or what, but a scuffle. Your grandmother, she talked to you after that scuffle. And in that scuffle, she said some words to you that were to the effect that, you know, you're going to be a so-and-so when you grow up. You know, a big man like so-and-so wouldn't do that. You know, you have to do this and you have to think like that. She crafted you because she knew something about your nativity that you didn't know. Mm. And she let you know where your life connection was going to be. And you've forgotten it. You've forgotten it all. So here we go. We're starting in a store. You're going to purchase something. You don't know what it is, but you enter in to purchase something. You are very happy and contented. Obviously, you and your wife are very close, and you have that kind of relationship that people envy. You don't just love each other. You like each other, and you enjoy each other's company. Okay? So you obviously have this kind of relationship. You enjoy each other's company. She is your buddy. She's your friend. She's your playmate, as well as your spouse. And that is a rare thing. I pray that you cherish that, because people would give their eye teeth for that kind of a union. Many people marry for convenience. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be alone. I'm tired of being sexless, whatever. But you love your wife, but you guys are buddies, which means you can enter whatever project God gives you in life, and you can do it together, and it will thrive because you two do it hand in hand. So that's very powerful. So that's the first thing. So you like her company, and she likes yours. That's awesome. You know, and so you're in the store, and you see a line, and as you see in the line, all these people are ready to check out, because you know what? You're going into the place to acquire something, but people are checking out of that place. That means that there are a lot of people who are dropping out of even just dropping out of life. You've got a lot of people that just dropping out of life. I don't want to do ministry. I don't want to do God. I don't want to do Christianity. I just want to do it.
Wow.
So you need to change your circle of friends, because you have a lot of jaded folks around you, and those jaded folks are kind of making your signals get crazy. So then you go in, and God is, you walk into it, and it's a restaurant. What is it? Okay, you're getting ready to go to a place of feasting. And there's a buffet. You can choose a lot of things, and you still don't know what you want, because that's not what you want. You're not there to choose. You're not there to choose from the feast. You're there to be reminded of your childhood journey that brought you to the place that you must make the decision that you don't want to make today.
Wow.
You got a journey. And you've been on this journey for a little bit, and you don't want to make this decision. And you don't want to make this decision for what you think are good reasons. So God is, your wife has spoken into this. I'm telling you, you're going to hear your grandmother's wisdom in the words of your wife. You're going to hear it in the words of all of these relationships, because they all spoke to it. They all shared the same common view of who you're called to be. And you don't like that. You don't want that. That's not what you want, because you want to be, in an environment that's not messy. You don't like messy. And messy.
Amen.
Gets on your nerves. So you see, and you don't, I don't want to do church. That's why all of these things, you realize that God, the Lord Jesus, calls the church a woman. His wife.
Whoa.
His son. See, you see that?
Apostle Price, that? You're messing me up. I'm sorry, but go ahead. I'm listening.
But see, you know, Jesus calls the church a woman. And so that is why there's always more women in the church than men. But God is telling you that you have a call that's affecting his body. And you don't want it, okay? Now, you don't want it because you want to do something that's a lot more economically and prestigiously affluent, because you have a thing for being affluent, and I don't blame you because you have good reason. I won't even go into that. So now you finally, you get past your mother, you get past your godmother, you realize mother, god sister, godmother. So he's telling you it's God's family, and these are God's ladies.
Wow.
And you are there to give validity to a lot of women in ministry, because you understand that. That's why God brought you the way you brought. Why was I born in this family? Why couldn't I be born in so-and-so family? I mean, come on. That's you. You're still working through a lot of that. But you are still called. Your grandmother told you, she told you, little pastor, because when you were a little boy, that's what she told you you were.
God Almighty.
So she's telling you, little pastor, because now little pastor must become the man who answers God's call. Now, and she's telling you that she misses you, because your grandmother, whether or not you felt it as a child, because sometimes as kids we remember things emotionally and not necessarily accurately. We just remember the feeling, the smell, or whatever. But your grandmother also missed counseling you, but she missed finishing what she started with you. And that's why you miss her, because you know that her death cut off something, short-circuited something in your journey in life.
Wow.
And so she never had a chance to tell you to finish what she started. But God is telling you all of that through her was him. He just used what you would receive.
Mm.
And he said, but now I'm taking up the charge, and I'm taking up your cause and your case, says the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to lead you in the way. And all of those things that you buried in your heart and buried in your soul, and some of it got beaten out of you because you had some difficult moments, but God says, I'm pulling all that this matriarch, my minister, see, she wasn't just grandma, she was God's minister, God's officer. I'm pulling everything she buried in your soul up from the depths of the hidden places that they are, and I'm bringing it to your conscious mind. I'm weaving together the answer and the solution because I want you to take over a church. I got a work I want you to take over, and you don't want to take it on.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry I reacted like that. You just messed me up, though. I got to put my window down in my car. I'm sweating. Oh, God.
And so now, because you're asking God, and this is what you said to him. You said, if I'm supposed to do this, you got to tell me in a way no one else could say it, with things nobody else can know but you and me. I need you to let me know, because that you're like Moses, because that's the only way I'm going to know if you're with me.
Wow.
And so you have your answer. God said, fear not, I am with you. I've ordered your steps. I see you putting on new shoes, which means you're getting ready to walk in this thing. You want to do it differently. You want, well, I don't want to do it like this. I don't know if it's like that. You don't want to be traditional. You're going to be what she didn't finish. Because what she didn't finish, because of two things. Number one, because she was a woman, she didn't get a chance to. And number two, because she had to age, and that you're going to pick that mantle up.
Whoa.
Because
wow.
She was prevented from doing a lot of things, and you discerned a lot of things as a kid and as a preteen more than you understood them. But all of that's going to make sense to you now. And so you're going to have this. I mean, March is going to be a great month for you. It's going to be a month where you are awash with revelation, awash with connections. It's going to be a great month for you because your whole life is going to come in order because God said, I've taken this on.
My God. Wow. Do I have time to tell you some of the things that you have just straight up confirmed already?
I think my listeners would love to hear it, and I know I would, so I think we're going to take time. This is my show.
First of all, you know, my father, like when I said that when I was 18, I found out that my one that raised me wasn't my father. My father was a bishop, but he wasn't married to my mother. And it was all of this stuff that was going on in my life, you know, and it became very hard. And it was like, you know, that was what I had to go through, you know. And then when you came down and you talked about that the women, God calls the church. Okay, all right, let me slow down. The most important thing that you just said to me was he wants you to take over a church. My father started a church. This church is about 60 years old now. The pastor is 81. My birthday is February 17th. Hers is February 18th. So I always know her age because we celebrate at the same time. You know, the assistant pastor is 75. You know, so there's going to come a time where something's going to happen. And God has been really dealing with me about taking this church over, but I don't see how it's going to happen. And the reason why I don't want to be a pastor is because my father was such. Now, God used him, and I'm not going to negate the fact that he did, you know, that God used him. But he was such a womanizer. You know, it's so bad, Apostle Price, to the point where I've got a first cousin that's my sister, you know. So I feel like that heritage that he left when he died, you know, is going to take over. And I don't want to ruin God's church because I'm not trying to go to hell. You know what I'm saying? I want to do what he says do, but that's my drawback. I mean, you just hit all of that on the hell. I don't want to do it because I don't want to fall into that, you know, and taking over this church, that's a major responsibility. These are people's souls, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to deal with the fact of God is telling me, why didn't you lead this soul the way I told you to lead it? That's major to me. And the fact that you just said that, you know, that he wants you to take over church, I'm all to pieces right now. So, you know, I'm going to be gone the rest of the day. I'm just all off. But you have just confirmed, you have just confirmed so much. And even when you talked about people checking out Apostle Price, in this church, member after member after member for so long was dying, checking out. Listen, let me tell you something. And it's not that they were just dying. Influential people in this ministry have been getting sick. They've been getting debilitated. One has had surgery on this part that makes her not as strong as she used to be. One has had surgery on that part. This one is old, and this one's knees are going bad. It's just like, Lord, what are you, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Is there anything else you want to say?
Well, I'm going to say a few things so that we can nail this down, but I want to tell you this. Let's go back to your dad. If you feel that your father left something impure in that church, then you're not counting God as God. That's number one, okay? Because
okay.
The atmosphere of an organization emanates from the leader. Even if there are, and let's just say there's some womanizing whatever, you know how to pray and exterminate that stuff. You don't have to be moved by that. So that's just something, that's your judging your father and condemning his work. We need you to not do that.
Okay.
All right, because here's what, and just because God, you have to say this to saints, you know, just because God used somebody doesn't mean he approves of them. God uses a lot of things that he doesn't approve of, but it's useful. You realize that God used the devil, and he doesn't approve of him. God used Judas. He didn't approve of him because God uses what is expedient for him. He's getting a job done. So for all of you all who think just because God is using something, he's approving it, uh-uh. Just like, you know, it's kind of like the father. Let's talk about the first cousin who's your sister. You know, God's not going to kill the sister because the father did it wrong.
Right. That's true.
You know, that's not it. So God is using his fruit. And that's just the way it is. So he will use a lot of things because God is going after the fruit. He already looked in the generation and said, but there's one that's coming I can use. You think about David and Bathsheba. God used Solomon, and he did not like how Solomon and David and Bathsheba got together. He didn't approve of that. He didn't approve of the Uriah incident. He didn't approve of it so much that the first child died. But he still blessed Solomon because Solomon had this the natural equipment to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish.
Wow.
So God is sometimes God tolerates a whole lot of sin in the family line to get that one gene that's going to do what he wants. So
yes,
you have to, you know, we got to think bigger about God. You know, we act like God is like us. He's like, you know, bound to whatever few little things we can do. Now, or that he's just wake up and say, oh, my God, I got a womanizer. Are you kidding? He knew that. But he also knew that beyond that human flaw called womanizing, there is a whole lot of genetic traits and a whole lot of genetic attributes that when they came together with the right thing would produce a child with the resources, the human assets to get what he wants done. And so God's playing to win. And if he's got to overlook this and tolerate that and deal with it in the afterlife, he will do it because God is playing to win. So don't get caught up in that. Don't think that just because the only thing your father passed on to you was womanizing. No, no, he apparently passed on a willingness to hear God. He apparently passed on love for God's people. Maybe, you know, your father perverted it. Bless his little heart. Maybe that's him. But he passed on a Mashiach. He passed on the pastorate. He passed on the shepherding thing. So there are some things he passed on that were very good. You pick the good, toss the evil. That's how God works. So that's the first thing I'd like to say. And the second thing I'd like to tell you is that you are going to have to start taking God at face value. You got him mixed up in a whole lot of stuff.
Wow.
We're just going to take God at face value. You know, God said, hallow the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You know, sanctify me. Don't mix me up with that. Just because I brought everything into existence doesn't mean that it's all doing what I want it to do the way I want it to do it. You have to realize God had to, if God was going to have free will, he had to make his own antithesis. He's not going
right.
to live forever with this with the opposites. He's just using it in his life. So you have a great call. You're going to do well in your call. God's going to make this happen. You have the mantle, the sound, the voice of the bishopric all over you. You're not going to escape that destiny. You decide whether or not it glorifies God or glorifies
my
your
God.
Brother. You make
my
that decision.
God.
My God.
And if you do it, if, let me tell you something, the worst reason to go into ministry is based on how somebody else did it wrong. That's the worst reason. Whether you go because God's making you, even though you don't approve, or whether you go because you want to feel like you're the correction. No, you go because it's your call in life, and you're going to obey the Lord, and you're going to do what he needs. So you have a great call. You're going to do fine. Now, you're going to be knee-knocking and nervous for a little bit, but understand, God doesn't miss.
Amen.
And God said, you know, you can go in like Solomon and build everything that your father couldn't build. Or you can go in like a coward and let it happen to you. But I'm gonna tell you something: you won't avoid this call. It just won't. It won't go away.
Mm.
So
wow.
Welcome to the world of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for allowing God to use you. I'll continue to speak grace over your life and peace over you. And I really thank you. And blessings to you and your ministry. And I'm going to really, really hug my brother when I see him.
Good enough. Well, let me pray for you. Can't let you go without covering you in some prayer. You know that. Father, thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
For Quentin. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for what you're doing. Holy Father, thank you for knowing where your treasures are, to knowing where your own hidden riches in the secret places are, and where your hidden riches are secreted in the people that you've made. I thank you for that. I thank you for watching over every word to perform it. I thank you for continuing to minister to this young man, continuing to clothe him and outfit him with his purpose, his calling, and his destiny. I thank you for purging his soul so that he can bring forth good fruit for you. I thank you, God, that you're giving him that anointed glory to God, that Apostle Paul anointing is going to take him where he got to go. But God, I thank you through it all, the trials that are going to get him there. And Lord, bulk him up now, because he has no idea what you're going to do to get him in position and to see to it that he soars and succeeds. Give him that strength, fortify him with all might in his inner man. And God calls his wife to come alongside and to begin to understand and to cooperate with and even yield to what you're doing in her husband, that this marriage may bring you the utmost of praise and the utmost of glory. These things I ask and decree and declare in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
And amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Have a blessed and wonderful day.
You too. God bless you.
All right.
My goodness. That was the show right there. I like those Franklin brothers.
They do bring that unusual piece to us, don't they?
Yes.
Woo, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I feel like I worked. I labored a little bit today.
Oh, you did. No, you did. Hold on, because when you were breaking that dream down, and I was like, okay, now that's deep. Prophet Adia texts me, how does she do that? .com. I'm like, I know, right?
Woo, glory to Jesus. But I tell you, you know, that is, those are the things that God does that makes the Paula Price Show worthwhile. I'm sure that we'll hear from a lot of our listeners as they write in, call in, text in, or whatever it is they do, because they kind of get us from the Facebook, the tweets, and the LinkedIn, and whatever else, but to let us know how that blessed them. Because every call is broadcasted, because it's a broadcast, because it's being cast out over all the people who are listening and those who are calling in. So I am thrilled about that. I don't know about you, but I am. I think it's amazing how God never loses what he wants. He does not care. God's moving on, you know?
Yeah, but I have to say, Dr. Price, you broke that thing open. I mean, for real.
Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I only want to do it for the Lord and to do it for his glory. And a lot of times I have to tell people, you know, listen to me now, God don't play necromancy. I don't care what you say. He's done. He should silence them folks. I always feel like, how are you going to give me information from the other, from the grave, and you can save yourself? Because everybody else is dead, is waiting for Jesus. You die in Christ, you with him. And so, and you're not going to take his glory. because we know that the truth is in Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You only get true information from God, from he who wrote it. And God wrote a book on this man's life, Psalm 139, 15 and 18. God wrote a book on every life that exists, and only he can tell you how that life is going to go. So I'm going to tell all my saints who are listening, don't go into necromancy. God does not seek the living among the dead. Isaiah 8:19. Read it yourself. He doesn't do that. I know some of y'all do that. Well, you know, this one coming, that one coming. I don't take dead stuff coming. I bind it up because I know it's not a person. It's a spirit. And so I don't deal with that. But I do want you to know that God at times picked and used what anchored your soul and kept you in him for you to be aware and convinced that he is talking to you, he is instructing you, he's giving you information or something like that. So I want to tell all of you all, God may have mama's voice come, may use mama's face, you know. Let's get real. We rerun stuff in our own media. So that's part of his media archive. He'll rerun something, but he is not going to give his glory to another. It's always going to be Jesus Christ because he put every secret, every mystery, every truth, everything he has, he put in the person Jesus Christ because that's his son. Just like we talked about with Quentin, Ashley, we talked about him carrying his father's genetics. God put that in that son. So God put everything in Jesus, and he gave it to Jesus because he found him faithful enough not to rob the father, not to manipulate it, not to distort it. You realize that as Jesus Christ, if Jesus came today and he was not ethical, you realize what he would do? No, but we have a faithful creator, and we have a faithful savior. So I thought that is good. Ashley, my tweet's going off like crazy here. How about yours?
I know yours is. I said, you're lighting it up today, Dr. Price.
Well, I don't think I have enough time for another call.
Well, you do have time for a praise report.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yes, I want to put that in, and then you have one more caller. I will see to it that I'll tell her she needs to call in next week, and we'll put her at the top of the list. But returning to us, Dr. Price, is Kimberly from Oregon. Kimberly, welcome back.
No kidding.
Good morning, Dr. Price. Oh, my gosh. Hello.
A blast from the very past.
You know I'm always online here. I'm always online somewhere. You know I'm connected, but I said it was time to give a voice to the connection. It had been too long.
It really has been. So talk to me. What's been up with you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have I'm really excited because on the great side, I've got my website is getting prepared to be launched. I've got a blog that I'm getting ready to. God is really doing some things over there. But I have to tell you, Dr. Price, and I think you know, last year was full of a lot of trials for Kimberly. And I have to tell you, this brief moment in time where I was able to so see God show up, and I am so thankful, and I just covet the prayers that I know you and the team have prayed over my family and continue to pray. I'm actually so messed up after Quentin. I've so many things I could relate to with him, and I was like, oh, my goodness gracious, I'm on the floor with him. Wanted to open up my own windows. Good grief. That was amazing. That was so amazing, so amazing. And just to see the power of God move, I love how you always teach us while you are edifying us and speaking into our lives and giving us what God is trying to say to us. But just briefly, my mother passed in December, literally 6 months to the day after my son. And it was unexpected, obviously, and I advanced to becoming my grandmother's primary caregiver at the same time. But I have to tell you, let me tell you how God so moved in so many different ways. But specifically, I have a brother who is incarcerated and serving a life sentence. And my mother's service was on a Friday. On Thursday, we received a call that they were not going to allow him to attend the funeral. And I had been given a number, and I actually asked my father. I said, this is what you need to say, you know, call this number, and gave him the rundown of what he needed to say, and he was silent. And I said, Daddy, are you catching this? You need to do this. And then I said, Daddy, do you need me to make the call? And my father never relinquishes power at all. And he said, yeah, I think I didn't get enough sleep. I think you should make the call. Anyway, I called the gentleman, didn't know who he was or what his function was, explained the situation, and asked, again, is there something that he could do to change the decision? He said he would get back to me in an hour, and surely he did, and spoke to me in a very kind way, but said, you know, I appreciate your phone call, but I have to tell you, I'm going to have to say no. And I went back into my advocacy mode of, well, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're saying no, but I need for you to appreciate the fact that my brother is more than an inmate. I need for you to see him as a brother, a son, and as an uncle. I said, is there any way possible? I said, do you understand that, you know, as much support as I might have on the outside with people speaking life into me and calling and checking on me, my brother will not have that. And then I told him, I said, we had already sent the money to the tune of $1,600. And he said, let me call you right back. And then he called back and he said, you know, I want to tell you that not only do I appreciate our conversation, but I appreciate your composure during all of this. And he said, I trust you. He said, so I'm going to grant your request.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if anybody out there understands what that means. It is a very rare occasion. It is so rare that in my state, in Oregon, they don't even allow it. And it just so happens that we were able to utilize Washington just over the bridge as in terms of a venue. And my brother is actually in the state of Washington. So it is so rare of an occurrence, it literally almost doesn't happen. And then I must go on to say how gracious the three officers, his escorts, were in allowing us to actually grieve together as a family, to hold him, to touch him, to hug him, to support him in his own grief as he was able to share in the service. And so that is nothing, because I want people to realize that not only did he overturn the original no from the facility, he overturned his own no.
Wow. That's powerful.
And I found out later that he is, we've managed to have a great rapport with one another, but he is actually the director of prisons.
Wow, what a blessing. And it is good to know that God is still fighting our battles today. That's been my word for the day, that God is fighting my battles. Well, you know what? I just got a little, you know, you get the alarm that says, hey, we got to go. So, you know, I'm glad to hear from you. I wanted to make sure that you kind of dug yourself up from, you know, wherever you were buried.
And yes. And I will see you in June.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be powerful.
Yes.
It's going to be.
Yes.
So listen, until the next time we talk, sweetheart, stay blessed. Tell your folk I said hallelujah. And, you
Thank
know, tell
you.
Your family, I can't wait to hug somebody from your family in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless my beloved.
Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're welcome. Okay, well, Prophet Ashley, you can wrap us up with some. Is there something else that I didn't do? Have I handled all of my business today?
You have handled all of your business today.
All right, then if that's the case, then we are done for this Thursday's edition of the Paula Price Show. Remember, you can hear it again. Go to the website and get some stuff, take some assessments, but most importantly, hey, stay powerful in God because he wants us to make it happen. God bless you. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com.
Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.